everyone, and welcome to another brilliant sport and lifestyle biz here on your Real Feel Good Radio, UK Health Radio. This week we have the final parts of interviews from two amazing sports women, Nicola Curry, jockey and role model for all the youngsters in the sport, and Rose Draper, starting off her career as assistant trainer to her dad and also in the media with Racing Post Greyhound Television. Throw in our SLB Sports Roundup and we hope you'll enjoy the show. You'll never stop this day. As indicated, we start with the final part of our interview from brilliant flat jockey Nicola Curry. Absolutely, Nicola. I said we've just spoken about how important it is to work hard at all times because you don't know what's around the corner. You've taken the chances with both hands. I've just read out incredible career and current year as well stats that you're just so consistent and so consistently good, which obviously is why you're doing so well. One thing I would like to ask you about, because I don't think you really benefited as much as if you were coming into the sport now, is opportunities for women and girls. And it's things like what yourself, Hayley Turner, Holly Doyle have actually done to create more opportunities for girls. Obviously, girls still have to go in and perform and work hard, as we know. Are you sort of overjoyed and happy that the opportunities are much more now? And do you take a sense of pride that you were one of the integral initial women that started this?
Yeah, I noticed now, even from when I started riding, 9 times out of 10, you would probably be in the waiting room on your own. Maybe if you were at the same meeting as Holly or Josie or Hayley, we would bump into each other. But generally, you were there on your own. But nowadays, every day I go racing, there could be at least another 2 or 3 girls, and sometimes we have a full girls' changing room, which is great. So it's obviously, you know, making a difference of what some of us females have done, and I think just probably giving the girls more confidence to go out and do it. And of course, you have to prove that, yeah, we can be as tough and as strong as the boys. And I do think more opportunities are arising for girls to prove that.
Which is a fabulous thing. And a couple of things I need to pick up on. First thing, I need to apologise to Josephine Gordon if she listens to this, because I didn't put her in the initial list. She was obviously a very important and integral part in women getting rides. And obviously, it's not only the riding and the opportunities that are better for women now. Obviously, facilities at the course are as well. You say you've got, you know, your own girls' changing room, which I know sounds obvious, but a few years ago, it probably wasn't.
No, then you're absolutely right. I mean, some of the changing rooms, they literally had space for 2 girls. And a lot of them even now will just have 1 shower. So when there's a lot of girls there, it becomes quite cosy. But all the race courses are adapting very well. And there's certainly 3 race courses in the last 2 years that have done up our weighing rooms. So we have a lot more room for everybody. We've got more showers and they are adapting to the rising girls coming into the industry.
I mean, that's still pretty sad though, really, isn't it? When you think that some have only got 1 shower. That's the time, sadly, isn't it? But we are coming out of that.
Yeah, we 100% are. You know, as I say, a few years ago, as girls that were riding, we didn't even bat an eyelid. That was just the norm for us, you know?
Yeah.
You go in your little weighing room, and to be honest, if we had a busy day, we'd obviously get changed in the girls, but we'd actually have our peg in with the lads. And that's just where you have to be, you know, to learn what's happening in this race. And it's just listening in to those older senior jockeys, learning little tips, taking it all in. But no, as I say now, you know, there's no excuses. We've got all the facilities we need for girls, for as many girls that are ever there now. So yeah, times are definitely changing.
Fabulous. And I want to ask you one more thing, if that's okay, before we ask you a little cheeky question about a couple of horses and then quite a serious-ish question about advice for youngsters is, can you give me a brief description of a day in the life of Nicola Curry?
Yeah, so it starts off, my alarm goes off at 4:45. So on a typical day, say I'm in right now at Jamie Osborne's, thankfully that's only 5 minutes from my house. So I'll arrive at the yard at 6:15 to pull out for 6:30. I usually do 3 lots, so that would maybe take up till 9:30, 9:45. I then, if I have time, venture off to do my own horse. Mad, I know, but it's my little get out from racing. I then generally, depending if I'm a day meeting or an evening meeting, I would go home, grab a quick shower and jump in the car and head off to wherever I'm racing that day. And then depending again if it was a day or evening meeting, if it was an evening I would just get some food out from the race course, eat it in the car on the way home if I didn't have light the next day, and get home, and it would usually be straight to bed and do it all over again.
It is non-stop. I was just trying to get the point across to people of how much hard work it is. It's not just turning up at the races and riding the winners, is it?
That's it. You know, my last ride tomorrow night, I think, is at 10 to 9 in the evening. So if I was coming back to Lambourne, you know, I wouldn't be home until 11:30, 11:45. And then you'd be back up the next day riding out.
Wow.
And then likes of tomorrow evening, I'm actually at Pontefract, which is a long way from Lambourne.
It is.
On the Sunday.
Yeah.
So what I will probably do, thankfully, because I don't need to be riding out Lambourne, I will head back up north after Wolverhampton and stay somewhere for Pontefract on the Sunday.
Yeah.
But as I say, if that had been a Friday night to a Saturday, I would have had to come back to Lambourne, ride out in the morning and then drive back up north up to Pontefract. So yeah, it's certainly not the glamorous lifestyle that people might think it is, but I tell you one thing, when you have a winner, it certainly makes the driving home a lot easier.
I bet it does. I bet it just gives you such an adrenaline rush.
That's it. It makes it all easier, and you don't snooze your alarm for another 3 times the next morning, and it's easier to get up and get out of bed and go in and exercise the horses and start another day.
Absolutely. And just to elaborate on how hard it is, I know it's not considered a very good question to ask women about weight, but you said sometimes you grab some food at the course or just away from the course. How hard is it for you to manage your weight, or are you relatively lucky?
I'm relatively lucky. I certainly don't do as much light weights as I did a few years ago. I'm just unable. I've just been that bit older now. But yeah, I try and manage it the best I can. I'd maybe have a light weight and have to sweat. I'm very lucky, maybe once a month. I mean, there's a lot of lads that do it every single day.
Yeah.
And I absolutely take my hat off to them. But yeah, when I've got a light weight, I would just really narrow down on what I'm eating. And if need be, I will get the sweatsuit on and get running and then have a long hot bath. And that usually takes a few pounds off. And then you would just kind of sip a bit of water. Not much. You would literally sip on it in the car on the way to the races just to kind of keep you going.
Yeah. So it is obviously a lot of extra work. What is a lightweight for you?
So now my bottom weight would be about 8.6. I mean, 2 years ago I could do 8 stone and not much of a struggle. But I think after COVID and everything, my weight went up having the time off, and it's not really gone much back down. I've had to really focus on getting it back down to a level weight. But yeah, if I've got a day off, I'm not racing, I'll always try and go for a run, and it just helps your metabolism, and you might sweat a pound or two and it just keeps things level.
And sorry to throw another quick question at you. What's your cheat meal?
Cheat meal? My cheat meal would be a bottle of Peroni and Chinese.
There you go. That's straight after most people's hearts, isn't it? I mean...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can't go wrong with that, can you? But yeah, I can tell you now, waking up the next morning, it's just that instant regret.
I bet it is. I bet it is. I mean, it's great at the time, isn't it? But...
You just try not look at the scales for a few days afterwards until you've done a bit of hard work again.
Do you know what? I feel for you. 8 stone 7. That, and for everybody listening, that's with saddle, silks, boots, hat, isn't it? That's everything.
Yeah.
That's not 8.7 before you put all the clobber on. That's 8.7 all in.
With it all on. That's exactly it.
Wow. You're a legend, Nicola. You really are. So... I've taken a lot of your time up, but I'm so grateful. Just a question before we finish off. something that I know will be appreciated by many. A lot of our young footballers listen to the shows, and anyone that's aspiring to get into sport or get into horse racing, I think if you're going to be a champion or a winner, the dedication is across the board, whatever sport it is, maybe in different areas. Could you give these youngsters some advice of what they need to do to succeed and maybe what they need to stay away from?
Yeah, look, you obviously, you just have to do your best, and that's all you can ask for. Whether you succeed or you don't succeed, as long as you've given your best, that's all anybody can do. But as long as you work hard and keep your head down, then 9 times out of 10 you are going to. You've got to just be, keep yourself as fit as you can, as strong as you can, take every bit of help you can get, that's certainly for sure. There's not much advice that's bad advice. And just be tough about it. There's going to be bad days at sport, and that's just one of the part and parcels of it, and it's just dealing with those bad days.
Nicola, that's absolutely amazing. I can't believe we've come to the end of it already. It's gone so quick, you would not believe how long we've done the interview for. You've been an absolute pleasure. And I want to say, Nicola Curry, superstar British jockey, thank you very much.
No, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Nicola, a brilliant string of interviews there, all separated into three parts, but what an amazing role model and talent you are. And after our first set of adverts, it's Rose Draper from the world of greyhounds.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So yeah, Rose, we've touched on your early life, what you sort of are doing now, and a little bit of how you got there, to be fair. So let's talk about the greyhounds now. You've mentioned Eden Star, you've mentioned some fabulous dogs that you've had or your dad's had through his hands that you've been a part of. What makes the ideal dog in your eyes?
Oh, it's a very hard question. For me, there's a lot of things on the track. I like early pace. I like a dog that can get around that bend in front. But they do have to be brave. I think bravery is a massive part of a good greyhound. We see so many fast dogs that if they don't necessarily get it all their own way, like round the first bend, they're not quite involved in the race anymore. Bravery is huge in this sport. In all the ways, whether they're good or not, they need to be brave. And also, the small things like the mannerisms in the kennels, like that is a huge part of it. If a dog's a bad kenneler, etc., that can make or break a dog. And that personality and the mannerisms when they're going out in paddocks and when they're interacting with other dogs is a huge part of making a great dog.
Yeah.
And they've got to kind of have it all to be the best.
Yes.
But for me, I like a dog with early pace. I like a dog that gets out in front and can keep there, basically.
Less drama.
Yeah, you know, some of them staying grounds that come from miles behind are so interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Or as a footer or as a spectator. But when you're stood in the middle of that track and you're, like, closing your eyes at the first bend, praying you turn into a reasonable position and weave your way through, your heart is in your mouth that entire race. Whereas when you're on the bunny, you've got a little bit of pressure off. So when you're stood in the middle of the track, I like to see them out front.
And I suppose if he does miss the break, you probably know it's over, so there's no real stress that way either, in a way. But is it very rare to find a dog that hits the lids quick but stays all the way to the line? Is that what makes the special ones?
Yeah, that's what we're all trying to get. That's what everybody's trying to breed. That's what everyone's trying to buy.
Yeah.
And that's who everyone wants to train, the dog that's got everything. We're
yes.
very fortunate, the absolute superstars on the track currently, and all kennels just across the industry as a whole, and we're fortunate to watch them. And the breeding is a very interesting side of it, something that I quite enjoy looking at. So yeah. one of the interesting things that makes a dog.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's great to hear, A, that you're a competitive person, but B, that you still like to watch any dog that's special, whether it's yours or from another yard.
Oh, absolutely. Greyhound racing is my job, but it's also my passion. It's something I just enjoy. My friends always laugh at me because it's my hobby as well, and it wouldn't bother me going to a race meeting. I don't have runners on if it was good
yeah.
racing. And there is some very special dogs about. I mean, Coolavani Shado for Patrick Jansen at the moment. When that did the track record at Perry Bar the other week, that was sensational to watch. That was an absolute joy to kind of watch. I was on holiday at the time, I was watching it on my phone, but
yeah.
I could very easily only watch my dogs at Perry Bar. I didn't, and that I'm so I didn't, because that was a tremendous dog to watch, and he looks like a big player in the season to come.
Absolutely. It's almost like, I suppose, going on the flat and watching like a Bayeed, or if you're in America, watching Flightline, or over the jumps like an Alaho or something like that. That it doesn't matter whether you're a fan or not, whether you're a fan of the yard or not, just seeing something that special, going out and just showing class, is something lovely to see.
Absolutely. If I get beat in a race and I get beat by a dog that's just ran a sensational run, I'm not bothered. I want to win, but also I can appreciate a good dog,
yeah.
whether it does or not. And sometimes you watch these races and there's some tremendous pace being shown by these dogs around different tracks. So it's good to see dogs on a different circuit sometimes, because yeah. we're attached to Sheffield. I watch so much of Sheffield, it's untrue, but sometimes, which is one of the reasons I love racing posts, I get to watch dogs at Romford, which, you know, there's some terrific early pace around there. There's some absolute sensational
right.
dogs that have been there Friday night in the Opens, and that's great to watch, and I get excited about watching that. But that's the thing, this job is so hard as a kennel and assistant trainer,
yeah.
and you have to enjoy the sport as a whole, and I'm lucky enough to love it.
Well, a couple of things to pick up on that, Rose, if you don't mind. First of all, it's lovely to hear your views, because you don't always get that in sport. You know, even down on grassroots football, sometimes you get coaches who begrudge you and don't like you winning because you've got a good team. So it's lovely to hear that in such a competitive sport, and a sport that is reliant on results like yours, is that you're still very open to watching the good dogs. But something you mentioned about, it's nice to see the dogs on a different circuit. Tell us about how much difference a tight circuit makes to a big wide circuit. And are the hare, or the bunny as you call it, are they different noises or speeds at different tracks?
Yeah, so some hares that are very noisy. We've actually got runners at Doncaster this week, and that is a very noisy hare, and that is a tight circuit.
Right.
Different, great. Sheffield's very oval in terms of the track. The big sweeping bends,
right.
very short, great. Whereas if you look at a track like Romford, they're tight, and it suits a different dog. It's horses for courses, as the saying goes. And you tend to buy a different dog for different tracks. A lot of the times, you'll buy a dog that, if you're kind of aiming at, say, a big competition like the Romford Puppy Cup, you'll be looking for a very different dog to what I'd be looking for the Three Steps to Victory at Sheffield.
Right.
You're looking for a completely different style, and that's why I enjoy them so much. And sometimes it goes wrong, and you might end up with a completely different style dog to what you're aiming for, but that's why I love watching the different kind of distances. We
yeah.
don't really have anything in our kennel at the moment that could run 400 at Romford, because it's, you know, a short distance, you need lots of early, you need to be able to run that first bend well, and that's why I enjoy watching it, because it's something I don't see. And that's what I think the great things about racing post Graham TV is that you get such a variety of tracks. You get Hove with its long, straight, sweeping bends, wide track,
yeah,
and then you get the kind of contrast of watching Romford, and you're getting good dogs on both tracks. But you get that contrast, and that's what makes it exciting for me. Not every track's the same, they're all different, and that's
yeah.
what kind of enjoyable.
Lovely, fabulous to hear. Now, we're just going to go on to something that I'm going to bring up that you mentioned earlier. On a bad note, before we end up with some nice, happier stuff, I'm going to bring into the conversation COVID, because obviously it didn't only affect sport, it affected life for everybody. What was the effect of COVID on you? As you're a family unit anyway, was it not so bad in respect of you could still go and do what you were doing? Or did it affect everything, if that makes sense?
It affected everything. We didn't race during COVID, very much like horse racing. We went into shutdown.
Yeah.
And we live on site where our kennels are, so we were very fortunate. Like, we had the kennels on the end of the garden and we could just go up there and pass some time on. So we were very fortunate. I don't think the dogs have ever been out as much as they did during COVID because we were just bored in that. We're like, oh, we'll just go and gallop a few dogs while we're sat doing nothing. We were very fortunate in that way that it kept us busy. It kept us from killing each other, basically. But it was a very hard time. It was a hard time for the owners because, obviously, we weren't racing. The dogs weren't making any income from the racing prize money side of things. So it was a hard time to get through, but we got through it, and it was great to get back racing. We were very similar to horse racing in. We had a very steady return. We had different stages where we'd be open to owners, we'd be open to the public, but we'd always be kept separate from the owners and the public, which was a very hard thing, especially as I've kind of touched on earlier. A lot of our owners are our friends. A lot of them have been with us for a lot of years. We've got good relationships with them. And it was very hard to kind of not be able to see them. And it was hard for owners to not be able to enjoy the dogs. They couldn't come down here on a Sunday morning and take the dog out for a walk.
Yeah.
So a lot of owners kind of lost a little bit of interest in. They couldn't have that one-on-one time with their dogs.
Yeah.
Which was very sad for us to see because I enjoy watching people enjoying the dogs, you know. I don't want anyone to be in this sport that doesn't want to be. If you're not enjoying ownership, then, you know, take a step back. Taking a step back is massive in this sport, and being able to reflect on what you can do going forward. And COVID was really hard for owners, really hard. And I think we're kind of only now just recovering.
Yes. That was my point, was the fact that because you lived on site and you were a family unit, I presume it didn't affect as much like the perhaps the fitness or the working of the dogs, but obviously it affected the owners. So it's nice to hear that not only did you stay afloat, you kept up and running, and perhaps you're starting to thrive a little bit now.
Yeah, we were very fortunate. We'd done quite a lot of work with our dogs during COVID, so when we kind of came back race, our dog kept the fitness levels
fit and firing. Well.
We never cut down like what kind of level of food they were getting, or like they were always having the best meat, etc.
Yeah.
So we were very fortunate that kind of we went all guns blazing as soon as we came back from COVID. The dogs were running at absolutely full throttle. So we were very fortunate in that way, and it did pay off. But yeah, it was hard, and some trainers didn't get through it, which is very unfortunate. But we are lucky that the dogs are owned by other people, so we were getting some sort of income to kind of take care of them. And that made it a lot easier for us.
Fabulous. Thank you for that, Rose. We'll go on to some happier times now. And would Eden Star be the best dog that you've been associated with, or would he just be your favourite?
I think he'll always be my favourite because he was the dog that got me properly interested in the sport.
Yep.
He got me excited for the first time. I was excited about a dog. Whether it was the best, it's always going to be debatable. Everyone's got different opinions. Whether they've got Ballymacesque is the best that we kind of had here. If you go back even further, kind of to just before I was born, we had Hinos, who was second in the Derby final.
Right.
It was for my dad. It's always based on opinions, but Eden Star will always be very, very close to my heart, just because he's the dog that got me into the sport and got me enjoying it and thriving in here and wanting to take the kind of career that I did, and I'm fortunate enough to do. So he's always going to be very close to my heart, but he was some greyhound as well. He was special to watch. He had monster really pace. He won some great races for us, and we had some really good nights with him. And yeah, he's always going to be special to me. But Ballymacesque, he was a monster of a dog. For such a small grey, he had the heart of a lion.
Yeah.
He had that will to win like nothing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He had the speed to match it as well.
I can just tell in your voice, it's lovely to reminisce and speak about.
It is, yeah. You have to remember the good times, because there is highs and lows in this sport, and you have to remember, you have to enjoy them highs, and we definitely enjoyed them highs. And, you know, we've had success since, and we've had some terrific dogs. We've been very fortunate in the greyhounds. We've been able to train for people, but there was kind of, we had a period where we were just open racing all the time with Eden Star, Ballymacesque, Barlow Warhawk, Barlow Barracuda. We just seemed to have a great team of dogs all at the same time, and that kind of got me excited, and, you know, that's kind of what you aim for again.
Yeah, yep, special times. Moving back to yourself, Rose, what's your plans and aspirations? I presume, if you can, to stay in the sport and in media?
Yeah, absolutely. I think my main aspiration at some point will be to take over the license and become a trainer in my own right. I'm not quite kicking my dad out just yet, but the time will come. My dad's getting older now. He isn't as in love with the sport as he once was.
Okay.
He still enjoys big nights racing, but this job is hard. It's 7 days a week. It's relentless and it takes its toll. And he's kind of getting to an age now where he wants to kind of be semi-retired, and we're lucky that we've got some amazing staff that allow him to be able to take the time off. He's got a motorhome and he loves going around Spain in his
Lovely,
motorhome.
Yeah.
So that it can do that. So at some point, my aspirations are to kind of take over the license. That's my main aim at the moment. But yeah, I do enjoy the media side of it. So I'd like to kind of keep a toe in that.
Brilliant. And if I could just finish off by cheekily asking if there's a couple of your dogs that we could perhaps note to look out for.
Yeah, the fastest dog in our kennel currently is a dog called Distant Podge. He'll be going for the Eclipse at Nottingham, but he's got a bright career ahead of him. He won the Puppy Cup at Nottingham at the back end of August. He's a special dog. He's one of those that has got good early pace and he does seem day out quite well. Stay on quite well. So hopefully he's got a big career. We think we've got a big second season with him. He's going to kind of mature even more as a 2-year-old dog, and hopefully next year he'll be one to follow. I'm yet to see him round Toaster to see if he's a Derby potential, but we've got high hope for him. And his sister, Distant Emma, as well. She contested in the Oaks final a few weeks ago. She finished third. And
lovely.
I think, yeah, and she'll be one to follow. I think she'll probably be one to follow over Six Bends in the future, but they've just turned two, both of them. I think they're going to have a good second season. But we've got a few nice dogs coming through the kennel, so they're definitely a few to follow, but they would be my main.
Something for you to look forward to as well.
Absolutely, they're the dogs that keep us going. We love graded racing, that is the bread and butter, but those exciting nights, kind of the Oaks final, those type of things, they're what keep you going.
Brilliant. Well, Rose, I'd like to get you back on more, but for today, you've been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much. You know, we've got loads there that we can mull over and take forward into the next interview. So for today, Rose Draper, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a long day without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you again.
Damn. All the planes we flew, good things we've been through, then I'll be standing right here talking to you about another path. I know we love to hit the road and laugh, but something told me that it wouldn't last. Had to switch up, look at things different, see the bigger picture. Those were the days, hard work forever pays. Now I see you in a better place.
See you in a better place.
How can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I would do, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be with me for the last ride.
It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
I see you again.
We've come a long way. From where we began.
You know, we started.
Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
I tell you.
When I see you again.
Both go out your way and the vibe is feeling strong. It was small, turn to a friendship turn to a bond. And that bond will never be broken, the love will never get lost. And when brotherhood come first, then the line will never be crossed. Established it on our own when that line had to be drawn. And that line is what we reach, so remember me when I'm gone.
How can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I went through, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be with me for the last ride.
So let the light guide your way.
Well, Rose, thank you so much. A brilliant interview and amazing for such a young lady. What you've achieved so far and how forward planning your thinking is for your future. Now, after our second and final set of adverts, it's our SLB Sports Roundup.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
This is our SLB Sports Roundup featuring golf, horse racing, cricket, darts, motorsport, NBA, NFL and football. We start with golf, and the PGA Tour held the RSM Classic for the Sea Island Seaside Course. From St. Simon's Island in Georgia, it was won by Adam Svensson on minus 19, two shots clear of three players, Callum Taran, Sahith Tigala and Brian Harman. They're back on the 1st of December with the Hero World Challenge from the Albany Golf Course in the Bahamas. The DPW Tour held their end of season DP World Tour Championship from the Jumeirah Golf Estates in Dubai using the Earth Course. It was won by Spanish number one, European number two, John Rahm, on minus 20. He finished two shots clear of Alex Noren and Tyrrell Hatton on minus 18. And in fourth place was Rory McIlroy, who has had a great 2020 and has become the number one in Europe by winning the DP World Tour, the number one on the US Tour by winning the PGA Tour, and also the number one golfer in the world. What a memorable year for Rory. Only thing that was missing was another major. Let's hope next year will be good for Rory and he'll win another major in 2023, starting by targeting the Masters so he gets the career Grand Slam. This week, the tour starts again, but they're down in Australia, in Brisbane, with the Australian PGA Championship. The LPGA Tour also had their end-of-season tournament with the CME Group Tour Championship from the Tiburian Golf Course in Naples, Florida, using the Gold Course. It was won by Lydia Ko, the brilliant young New Zealander, who's only 25 but seems to have been around forever. She got minus 17, beating Ireland's up-and-coming star Leona Maguire by two shots on minus 15. And Anna Nordqvist from Sweden, who's at the other end of her career, she was on minus 14. So like Rory, Lydia Ko also become the player of the year. She is the CME Tour champion from the LPGA and getting close to becoming the world number one golfer. They're back in 2023, and the LET, the Ladies European Tour, has their final tournament this weekend with the Andalusian Open. Horse racing, some important results to bring you. We saw Apu Tarb win the Betfair Chase, but we also put up Protectorat, who won in fine style. The Stayers Handicap Hurdle, we put three up for you, Anti-Post. We had the winner, Botox Has, Run for Oscar, who finished third, and Good Risk at All, who finished sixth. Some bookmakers do pay sixth place if you back on the day. And in the Jim Barry Handicap Chase Ascot, well, we'd followed Time Hill for a while. He finished fifth, which was a placing with some bookmakers. But we also put up two others. Boot Hill that won Before Midnight, a massive price. He finished third. So a great week for us last weekend. A horse to look out for that made his debut was State Man. A brilliant winner at the Cheltenham Festival last year. State Man looks like he could go on to be a champion hurdle contender in what's shaping up to be a great race next March. He won the Morgiana Hurdle in fine style. Looks like he has plenty to improve on in his jumping, but also in his fitness. This week, the Coral Gold Cup is at Newbury. It used to be called the Hennessy or the Ladbrokes Trophy. We put five up for you in the last couple of weeks. Cora Grambler, Remastered, 3-under through 5, Our Power and Royal Pigai. All five have actually been back since last week. If it's soft to heavy ground, we like Cora Grambler, 3-under through 5. But more importantly, the top weight, Royal Pigai. The Racing Club Novice Chase at Newbury this weekend sees the debut performance of Stage Star. Very good horse over hurdles. And look out for Dashiell Dracker in the long distance hurdle. If the ground is heavy, this guy will stay all day. He's probably racing against horses that are better than him, but he stays all day and he tries his absolute heart out. The Fighting Fifth hurdle could see the reintroduction of Constitution Hill, favourite for the champion hurdle in March next year. He was pulled out in frustrating circumstances at Ascot last weekend when some trainers deemed the ground unsafe and some thought it was fine. Looking further ahead, the Beecher Chase is at Aintree on the 3rd of December. We like Geskill, Hill 16 or Darasha Counter. And to look out for the Tingle Creek Chase at Sandown on the same day. Edward Stone, who missed Ascot again controversially last weekend, may go for that. He's a player. He won the Arkle last year. But then Fernie Hollow might get sent over by Willie Mullins from Ireland. And this horse is an absolute machine. Cricket, England, after winning the T20 World Cup, have had a little hangover and they lost the first two one-day internationals against Australia. They're 2-0 down with one to play. However, they have had a changed side and they're trying new things out in preparation for the 50-over World Cup. And the Test team are getting ready to go and tour Pakistan next month for the first time in a number of years, after Pakistan have earned the right to play back in their home country. Darts, it was a grand slam of darts from Wolverhampton, and Michael Smith on his ninth attempt at a TV final finally came good, beating good friend Nathan Aspinall 16-5 in a one-sided final. And Michael Smith played brilliant for the whole tournament. We're just wondering now that he's won one whether we're going to get a plethora of tournament wins. The Players' Championships at the end of this month, and then the World Championships that starts just before Christmas and ends in the new year. Michael Smith could be a good bet in both of them. Motorsport, and it was the final weekends for the two final motorsports that we're reporting on for 2022. World Superbikes held the Australian round from Phillip Island. Race one was won by Jonathan Ray, six-time world champion from Great Britain and Northern Ireland, riding for Team Kawasaki. Second place, Toprak Ratsaglioglu, the outgoing champion, riding for Team Yamaha. And third was Alex Lowes. Had a poor season, Alex, sadly. Some down to him, some down to mechanical issues. Jonathan Ray's Kawasaki partner, he took the third place on the podium. Super Pole race, we were back to normal with new world champion Alvaro Bautista winning for the Ducati Aruba IT team. Second place was Toprak. Third place for Jonathan Ray. And in race two, Alvaro won again with Jonathan Ray for Team Kawasaki in second. And Alex Lowes picking up his second podium finish of the weekend. The final championship standings. Alvaro Bautista, world champion. Ducati Aruba IT team, 601 points. Toprak Ratsaglioglu, Team Yamaha, 529. Jonathan Ray, Team Kawasaki, 502. Formula One, also their final race of the season. The Abu Dhabi Grand Prix from the Yas Marina circuit in Dubai. Max Verstappen made it 15 wins in an unbelievable year for Max. Yes, he had the best car by quite a way, but he drove superbly all season. Undeniably a deserved world champion this year. Perhaps putting the final rights into that he was quite lucky in 2021. But Max Verstappen, a brilliant champion. Second place, Charles Leclerc for Ferrari, gaining him second place in the world title. And third place, Sergio Perez for Red Bull. That meant he finished third. They went into the final race, level points. But Charles Leclerc finished in front of Sergio Perez, who I felt was given quite a lot to do by Red Bull, stopping him quite late and him not quite having the time to catch up. So the final standings see Max Verstappen for Red Bull, world champion, 454 points. Second place, Charles Leclerc, Ferrari, 308 points. Third place, Sergio Perez, Red Bull, 305 points. The constructors were dominated by Red Bull, 759 points. 205 clear of Ferrari on 554. And with Lewis Hamilton's retirement, even though Ferrari were better positioned during the race, it made sure they stayed ahead of Mercedes, who finished on 515. So the roll of honour for world champions for 2022. MotoGP, Frankie Bagnaia, Ducati Lenovo. World Superbikes, Alvaro Bautista, Ducati Aruba IT. British Superbikes, Bradley Ray, OMG Racing Yamaha. Speedway, Bartosz Szmarzlik, becoming a three-time world champion. And in NASCAR, it was Joey Logano winning his second for the Ford Mustang Team Penske team. IndyCar Willpower, also Team Penske, so they took both the big four-wheel facets of this motorsport as champions. Formula E was Stoffel Vandoorne for Mercedes EQ team. And as we said, Formula One was Max Verstappen. On to NBA and some important results as the season's gaining pace. Mavericks 103, Clippers 101, Jazz 111, Knicks 118, Kings 153, Nets 121. Wizards 120, Thunder 121, Magic 108, Timberwolves 126, Hawks 101, Celtics 126, Bucks 113, Cavaliers 98, Nuggets 103, Knicks 106, Suns 130, Golden State Warriors 119, Trailblazers 107, Nets 109, Kings 130, Spurs 112, Cavaliers 132, Hornets 122, 76ers 110, Bucks 102, Grizzlies 121, Thunder 110, Mavericks 127, Nuggets 99, Pelicans 109, Celtics 117, Jazz 134, Suns 133, Warriors 111, Knicks 101, Lakers 128, Pistons 121, 76ers 109, Timberwolves 112, Trailblazers 113, Jazz 118, Clippers 119, Spurs 97, Suns 116, Knicks 95, Kings 137. They are very free scoring and have scored over 130 points in their last three games. Pistons 129, Nets 127, Grizzlies 115, Cavaliers 113, Heat 87, Mavericks 97, Nuggets 98, and Lakers 123, Spurs 92. So we give you the top 10 places in both conferences. The East is led by the Celtics on 13-3. The Bucks are second on 11-4. Joint third are the Hawks and the Cavaliers on 10-6. Pacers 9-6. Wizards 10-7. Raptors 9-8. 76ers are 8-8. And joint ninth are the New York boys. Nets and the Knicks 8-9. The West is led by the Jazz on 12-6. Second are the Suns and the Trailblazers on 10-6. Joined there by the Nuggets, also 10-6. The Kings are 5th on 9-6. And the Grizzlies and the Clippers are tied on 10-7. With the Pelicans and the Mavericks tied on 9-7. And bringing up the 10th place, the Timberwolves on 8-8. The important fixtures this week. Cavaliers versus the Hawks. Thunder versus the Knicks. Pelicans versus the Golden State Warriors. Bucks versus the Trailblazers. Bills versus the Celtics. Timberwolves versus the Heat. Clippers versus the Jazz. 76ers versus the Nets. Grizzlies versus the Kings, Suns versus the Lakers, Cavaliers versus the Trailblazers, Celtics versus the Mavericks, Raptors versus the Nets, Bucks versus the Bills, the Warriors versus the Clippers, the Knicks versus the Trailblazers, Pacers versus the Nets, Bucks versus the Cavaliers, Rockets versus the Hawks, Celtics versus the Kings, Spurs versus the Lakers, Suns versus the Pistons, Warriors versus the Jazz, and the Spurs take the Lakers on again. The Suns take on the Jazz, the Nets the Trailblazers. The Timberwolves versus the Warriors, the Clippers versus the Pacers, the Hawks versus the Heat, Pistons versus the Cavaliers, Celtics versus the Wizards, Knicks versus the Grizzlies, and the Bucks versus the Mavericks. On to NFL, and last week we have a result to bring you up. The Eagles 17, the Commanders 32. Well, the Eagles lost their unbeaten record, and who'd have thought it'd have been against the Commanders? Weekday 11 results, Packers 17, Titans 27, Falcons 27, Bears 24, Colts 16, Eagles 17, Patriots 10, Jets 3, Texans 10, Commanders 23, Saints 27, Rams 20, Bills 31, Browns 23, Ravens 13, Panthers 3, Giants 18, Lions 21, Broncos 16, Raiders 22, Vikings 3, Cowboys 4, Steelers 30, Bengals 37, Chargers 27, Chiefs 30. The third game in a row, Patrick Mahomes has started and finished a drive in the last seconds of the game to take it. The guy is unbelievable. And the result we'll bring you next week, the Cardinals versus the 49ers. The conferences look as follows. The Chiefs are out in front in the AFC on 8-2. The Dolphins, the Titans, the Ravens and the Bills are all 7-3. As we said, the East, the Dolphins and the Bills are 7-3 in joint first, and the Jets and the Patriots are joint third on 6-4. Easily the best division in the AFC. The Chiefs lead the way in the West, 8-2, and the North and the South are the Ravens and the Titans on 7-3. The Texans have the worst record in the NFL. They're also in the South on 1-8-1. In the NFC, the Eagles bounce back with a win, but a 9-1. The Vikings are 8-2, and the Cowboys and the Giants are 7-3. As in the AFC, in the NFC, the East is the best division. The Eagles are on 9-1. The Cowboys and Giants are on 7-3. The Seahawks lead the West on 6-4. And the Vikings lead the North on 8-2. The Bucks lead the South on 5-5. And the two worst teams in that division are in the North and South, the Bears and the Panthers respectively, on 3-8. Weekday 12 fixtures, Lions versus the Bills, Cowboys versus the Giants, Vikings versus the Patriots, Dolphins versus the Texans, Titans versus the Bengals, Panthers versus the Broncos, Jets versus the Bears, Commanders versus the Falcons, Browns versus the Buccaneers, Jaguars versus the Ravens, Seahawks versus the Raiders, Cardinals versus the Chargers, 49ers versus the Saints, Chiefs versus the Rams, Eagles versus the Packers, and the Colts take on the Steelers. We finish off with football and with Premier League taking a break until the week after Christmas. We can start with the WSL and weekday 8's results. Everton 1, Manchester City 2, Arsenal 2, Manchester United 3, and a stirring comeback by Manchester United. 2-1 down with 5 minutes to play, equalised, and then the brilliant Alessia Russo scored the winner. Bang on time. Chelsea 3, Tottenham 0. Aston Villa 3, Reading 1, Brighton 3, Liverpool 3, West Ham 1, Leicester 0. The league is now led by Chelsea, who have played 8, won 7, have 21 points. Second place is Arsenal, just ahead of Manchester United on goal difference. They've both played 7, so have a game in hand, are 3 points behind both on 18. But Arsenal has the better goal difference, plus 16 to Manchester United's plus 13. There's a midweek fixture that is a catch-up from weekday 1. It's Reading versus Liverpool. And then matchday 9 is back at the end of the month. Manchester United versus Aston Villa. Arsenal versus Everton. Leicester versus Chelsea. Reading versus Tottenham. Manchester City versus Brighton. And Liverpool versus West Ham. Well, the controversial World Cup in Qatar has finally started with the first match, the opening match, obviously held by the hosts, who become the first hosts to lose their first game, getting beat 2-0 by Ecuador. England start their campaign, as do Brazil and Argentina. And we'd like to throw in a couple of outsiders who we think will do well in Portugal and Argentina. We still think it'll be between Brazil and Argentina to actually win the World Cup. And we believe the group winners will be as follows. Group A, the Netherlands. Group B, England. Group C, Argentina. Group D, France. Group E, Spain or Germany. Group F, Belgium. Group G, Brazil. And Group H, Portugal or Uruguay. That's our SLB Sports Roundup. Well, everyone, it's the end of another brilliant show. Again, it's Nicola Curry from the World of Horse Racing, the third and final part from Nicola, followed by Rose Draper, again from the World of Greyhounds, the second and final part from Rose. We hope you enjoyed them. Thank you to both of those brilliant young ladies for giving their time up for the interview. Thank you, as always, to you, the listeners. We hope you enjoyed the show yet again. And final thank yous go out to Johan, Rafaela and the team at UK Health Radio for giving us this amazing platform to deliver you this great content. We'll see you all next week. Tonight, I'm gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive.
Good time, having a good time. Shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger. supersonic woman of you.
A ball.
Don't stop me now.
If you wanna have a good time.